Welcome to the Monday Morning Joe podcast presented by Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai, and Discount Garage Doors. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Thank you for being here today. All of you who listen and subscribe on Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, and just listen right here off JoeBucksFan.com, which is my preferred place that you listen, but anything is good. We appreciate all the growing support and the audience, and man, these are tough times. But first, I want to kick it off by letting you know, Discount Garage Doors, call them up, 1-866-420-DOOR, or go to their website, dgdoors.com. They support JoeBucksFan.com and this podcast. Same-day free service call, 7 days a week, 24/7. Call them up. You'll get that free estimate, the free diagnosis that you want on your busted garage door, or maybe you just know you need a new garage door. And you'll get that estimate and learn about what you need. Most competitors charge for that service. They don't at Discount Garage Doors, dgdoors.com. They'll even beat comparable estimates. They service the entire Tampa Bay area all the way out to Orlando. Use your Joe Bucks fan code for 10% off. They have a wide range of doors. They're state licensed. Great website too, dgdoors.com. 7 days a week, dgdoors.com. And Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai. Man, I'm wearing my Mustang Roush shirt today, my neat little polo that they gave me, and it reminds me of a happy time when I got to drive a Mustang Roush and all that power for a good week, really. Man, I miss those days when ladies were looking at me like I was much younger, and I don't know what, maybe it's all in my head, but it was a lot of fun. And at Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai, right now, they've got their model year-end closeout. It's here. Save up to $12,000 off MSRP with special dealer discounts on all 2017 Ford vehicles and over $8,500 off MSRP with special dealer discounts on 2017 and 2018 Hyundai models. Don't forget that every new purchase includes a nationwide lifetime warranty, plus every vehicle purchase comes with 1 year free scheduled maintenance at no additional cost to you. Free nationwide warranty, lifetime warranty. For the best price, service, and selection, you just can't beat Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford, and Hyundai, where they are exceeding expectations, customer expectations, every day. And definitely reach out to my friend Sean Sullivan there. Go to LakelandFord.com. He's a Ford manager. He's going to take care of you. He's a Bucks fan. He'll talk Bucks with you. He should probably even be doing this podcast. He'd probably do a hell of a job. LakelandFord.com. That's where you can find Sean. These are tough times. These are tough times. And probably the number one question that I get asked from friends, from on Twitter, and you know, follow us at Joe Bucks Fan. Number one question, you know, really on everybody's mind at this point, when you're 2-6, just got your doors blown off. Hopefully not your garage doors, but you just got your doors blown off 2 weeks in a row, 4 times in 8 games. You've been embarrassed. And these last two games were must-win situations, the start of divisional play, and you don't show up. You get clobbered and embarrassed. This is as bad as it gets. This is 2011 Raheem bad, after they started 4-2, and all of a sudden they're 4-8, and you're wondering, are they going to bounce back? And it gets worse and worse and worse till they close out with 10 losses. This is Greg Schiano 0-8 bad of 2013. And it's funny, that year the Bucks won 4 out of their last 8, and they even had a little streak in there. Somehow Greg Schiano dug that MRSA-ridden Josh Freeman mental freakout team out of a hole. He just didn't do it well enough. And I remember talking to some guys in the locker room back then, Davin Joseph particularly, who had Davin Joseph, very soft-spoken, well-spoken, good guy, thoughtful guy, captain of the Bucks, former first round pick at right guard. Joseph, I mean, he dropped some serious colorful language talking about what a tough bastard Schiano was pulling that team out from the depths where they managed to win 4 of their last 8. So I don't think, though, Dirk Cutter has it in him. I don't think he's got a Schiano mentality to pull this team through and have something good happen in the second half of the season. But there's still 8 games to go, and there's a lot to be accomplished, a lot to be learned, a lot of valuable time here for the organization to find out what your players are made of, what your coach is made of, even if you're going to get rid of the coach. There's just a lot going on here. So what next? what next? But the number one question I get asked is Jason Light and Dirk Cutter, are these guys going to survive? Are they going to survive this? And here's the stone cold reality. Most people don't like to think in terms of football as a business. I don't blame fans for that. It's just not the way you're going to be wired after a tough loss. But you know what? Team Glazer, the guys who signed the checks, the guys who are, as I guarantee you, as miserable and as embarrassed as you are today and as flabbergasted, right now, November 6th, those guys are deciding, where are we going to look for a general manager next? Even if we don't hire one, we need to know who our next guy is, because this whole scene looks all wrong. We thought we hired a Bill Belichick, a Bill Belichick disciple. And what did we get in Mr. Light? We got him making a lot of moves that Bill Belichick would never make. Anybody think Chris Swaggy Baker plays for the Patriots? Anybody think that, Doug Martin would be a $7 million Patriots running back? There's a lot of moves that are questionable by Jason Light. And the point I say this is that the Glazers hired Light, you know, and very much so because of his great pedigree, having worked with Bill Belichick as his right hand, in addition to Light being with winning organizations with Andy Reid, with the Dolphins many years ago when he started his career, and with Arizona during some of their good years recently with Steve Keim, General Manager of the Year, and Bruce Arians, Coach of the Year. So they got a guy who they expected had very, very high expectations of, and they didn't necessarily get it. And with Light's contract ending, I like Jason. Hey, we had Joe Bucks fan Jason Light ale, for God's sakes. The general manager himself approved his likeness and his name being attached to a beer that we had made last year on a limited edition craft beer. So, I mean, I know the guy. I like the guy, but do I think he comes back? No. No, I don't. Am I going to call for him to be fired today? No. Because I am the kind of person, I've played enough sports in my life, and I can only pull on my own experiences with everything, just like all of us. Teams can turn things around. I don't think the Bucks will turn it around. There's no evidence they'll turn it around. Now Jameis is hurt, and who knows how long they'll make him sit to repair his shoulder. But teams do turn things around. They really do. I've played on teams that have and teams that haven't, and it happens. And you know what? Right now, it's easy to say Jason Light picked all the wrong talent and these guys are mentally weak. He's screwed up left and right. And you know what? There's too much quit in this team. And that's, like I wrote yesterday on Joe Bucks Fan on Sunday, that's a failure from the neck up. And Jason Light's the guy who says the draft is 90% about getting the right guy from the neck up. And he'll tell you that's where he screwed up with Austin Seferian Jenkins. Great physical talent, got the measurables like a lot of players, but screwed up from the neck up, doesn't love football, wasn't committed, too much off-the-field stuff, whatever. So many guys on the Bucks now, when you watch this team, you realize that they are not playing well from the neck up. They're not playing hard, they're not playing intense, they're not playing smart, they're regressing. Those are all neck-up issues when you're evaluating a player, and that goes to the general manager. You know, I think at best, to be fair, in a grand scheme grading of Jason Light right now, at best, you'd give him a C-, at best. And you know what? His contract's up. Does anybody in the room here listening, anybody anywhere want to renew a C-minus general manager? I mean, can't you do better than that? On a philosophical scale, of course. Who gets a C-minus and then gets a new contract and you expect to win a Super Bowl and compete with the best of the best? So I don't think Light has a shot here unless Dirk Cutter can pull off a miracle, which is to somehow right this ship in a hurry and pull 5 wins out of the second half of the season. That's what I think Dirk needs to do to save Jason Light. To save himself, I don't know, but I think it still comes back to the offense. Dirk Cutter needs to leave this season with a humming offense. It needs to hum and play well. I think for his job security, the wins and losses are less important at this point than how well is that offense playing. Does this offense roll the second half of the season as a top 10, top 7 offense in the NFL. If Cutter can do that, yeah, I think he does come back. I think you have to have you hang your hat on something to be able to bring a coach back. Something has to be thriving and very successful. And that's why Cutter is here, is because his offense and his relationship with Jameis was there. If he can somehow revive that, he'll come back. Do I think it's going to happen with this team? No. And you know why? I'll tell you why. Because that's why we're here. Look, Dirk Cutter is presiding over a culture of losing. It is a culture of losing right now. 5 games in a row. Somehow this team was 2-1. They would have beaten the Patriots if they had a field goal kicker. And then everything collapsed. All the doors fell off. The team disappeared. Disa-freaking-peared. How does that happen early in a season? How does that happen after a team bonded early with Hard Knocks and winning opening day and getting past the adversity of a hurricane and having all these returning guys? How does a team come unglued that early, that fast? It's a problem in the locker room. It's a culture of losing. It's too many of the wrong guys, too much of the wrong mesh of guys, and a coaching staff that doesn't know how to get past it, as well as a front office that doesn't know how to get past it. It's everybody. I wrote this on Saturday, on Friday, with details from Cutter himself. He was asked on the Buccaneers Radio Network Friday evening. Most of you had already checked out on the week, maybe checked out on the Bucs after their horrible loss to Carolina. It's not a busy traffic time on JoeBucsFan.com a Friday night, but you know what? Dirk Cutter does his radio show, Buccaneers Radio Network, and he was asked the last question of the show. Took a call from a fan named Muhammad. And Muhammad said, what I wanted to ask Coach, if I had him privately, I would have said just what Muhammad said, which was, Coach, you know what? Last year, after you lost a couple of games, it was actually after the Bucs went 1-2. They lost to the Rams at home in a game they should have won. And Cutter talked about, I'll read you his quote. This is Dirk Cutter last year, September. There's something in our culture, and it's my job to fix it, along with the coaches, of letting games like this get away. I wish I could grab it. I've been on teams that have had it, and you don't want to let go of it, but when you don't have it, it's hard to figure out what it is. That's Dirk Cutter talking about the Bucs losing culture last year. And that was when they were just losing close games. And of course, the team figured it out, and here we are. They're getting their doors blown off. Boat race, just horrible, horrible stuff. This is a competitive league. Don't lose sight of that. There's parity across this league. This season in the NFL has been marked by teams making surprise upsets and coming back after bad weeks and it being unpredictable. The Bucs are the most predictable thing going right now in the NFL. But anyway, back to Muhammad and his question, which was, hey, last year you said that there was a losing culture, and I agreed with you. And he says, I think there has been a lack of commitment to excellence and efficiency by this organization prior to you coming here. And I think last year that was still happening. The culture was created. You alluded to it. So my question, Coach, is, do you think that culture is still happening? And is that the reason the Bucs are in this mess? This was Friday. And the guy says, closes and says, hey, I want to see, will you talk about this? And do you agree with me? What does Cutter say? He says, that's an excellent observation by Muhammad. And Cutter goes on to say, I thought we kicked it last year. I thought we were over it. We had an excellent offseason. We've got really good leadership from our players. So here we are. Here we are on this losing streak. And you know, I don't want to believe it's culture. I really don't. But I'm around these guys every day. But at the same time, we've lost 4 in a row. You can't hide from it. He goes on to say he's not pointing fingers. It's coaches too. But yeah, the culture, something's going on. That's the head coach on Friday. No finger on the team of what's going on. After he said many weeks in a row, I trust the process implicitly. That's Cutter has said that recently, that he trusts his process. Sounded very, very lovey-like. Very Shiano-like. And here we are. They get blown out. So probably the biggest issue I've got with Cutter is him believing when he says, and he said it many times, we've got really good leadership from our players. They don't. Who doesn't see that? They don't. They don't have that. Yet Cutter thinks it's there. I don't know. I don't know. This is just so frustrating. It's beyond belief. But I wanted to open at least with Light's future, which I think is grim. I think the Glazers, this today, tomorrow, whatever, they're already looking for the next general manager. But maybe Cutter can play well enough here to save himself and to save Jason Light. He's probably got to do more to save Light than himself. But it's messy. It is messy here on that front. But there's ways to go. As far as rebuilding the team, that's something to really look at after this season, because you know what? It's fun to think about and talk about now, but you got to see what you have in these players when things are at their lowest. And these young players, what do you really have? You got to empty the bench. We wrote about this on JoeBucksFan.com this morning. Lee DeCamper, my comrade who was up at the Saints game, wrote about this. You got to let these young guys play, see what you got. You might have more than you think. You might have worse. And, of course, you're observing the veterans at the same time. A lot to figure out, but you got to let these guys play. You can't hold on to some sort of whatever. I mean, Peyton Barber has got to play over Doug Martin. There's no reason not to at this point. No reason not to, and I don't need to pound the Martin drum even more. He's shown what he is, which is the same back he was last year. Drugs, no drugs, whatever. He's the same guy. Limited vision, loss of burst, not very good. And a guy comes in the game, as we saw yesterday, running more aggressively, harder, not dancing, not stopping and starting and hitting it. He's a little more successful. Martin, 8 carries, 7 yards. Barber was like 11 carries for 34, something like that. I'm not saying Peyton Barber's a Pro Bowler, but the differences were very evident yesterday, period. It was all right there for you to see. And for the fans, I know it's even a small percentage at this point, but who the fans who, you know, don't want to see Cutter leave, I'm not looking for Cutter to leave. I hope he turns it around. But if he doesn't turn it around, the whole argument for continuity and changing coaches and, excuse me, how horrible that is, it's a bunch of garbage. There's no continuity desired. There's no benefit when you suck, when you have a culture of losing. It's just like on the job. You could say, well, we don't want to not keep changing store managers every year because we don't get any continuity. It's bad for the employees. Well, if the store manager you pick sucks and your sales are down 10%, well, then you replace the guy because, you know, yeah, at some point you determine we can do better. So don't buy into the argument of you can't keep changing coaches and look for success. Look at what Eddie DeBartolo did how many coaches it took him to find Bill Walsh, changing coaches multiple years in a row to get to Bill Walsh. So, I mean, the culture, if the continuity of losing is there, then you don't want the continuity of stink. So don't even throw that argument in this direction. The game yesterday itself, I still go back to what I said here 2 weeks ago, is that the Bucks, they've forgotten how to win because they've forgotten how to play hard. And that's really at the core of the problem and at the core of the confusion when you've got guys who, I'm not going to say they're all quitting, but you've got some film evidence of loafing and you've got a defensive line and an offensive line that is not nasty. And it doesn't take talent to be nasty. It doesn't take talent to play hard. It doesn't. It just doesn't. It just takes will. And in the trenches is where that's most evident. You know, a guy can look terrible and out of position much easier at linebacker or at safety or wherever, playing hard. But you know what? Usually you have a lot of good results when you play nasty on the defensive line, on the offensive line. And there are play calls that Cutter can make that can keep things a little more simple for his offensive line too. You know, just some power blocking. Let's beat the guy in front of us. I mean, football still very much is about blocking and tackling. And the Bucks don't do those things very well. There are some sporadic nice plays and things like that, but man, when you're getting eaten alive in the trenches, I think Dirk Cutter needs to make a significant change just to shake things up a little bit. Look at the offensive line. J.R. Sweezy. We got this guy to be nasty. That's what we were told. Nasty, nasty. Donovan Smith telling everybody. I remember I asked Donovan Smith in training camp, does he feel that it was before training camp started. I said, hey, Donovan, you know, everybody's talking about J.R. Sweezy brings this nasty edge and it's already rubbing off. And how is that possible since he hasn't gotten to hit anybody yet or you haven't played a game with him yet? And Smith looks at me like I'm an a-hole and he says, have you seen Sweezy? I said, yeah. He's like, well, there you go. You know, he's nasty and he's this and you wait and see. Well, you know what? Sweezy hasn't rubbed off on that offensive line. Now, they're not all bad. I don't think the offensive line is our gargantuan problem on this team, even though Donovan Smith's played two crap games in a row, which is very rare for him. And, I mean, gosh, let's say what it is. I mean, his screw-ups got Jameis hurt yesterday. It got him re-injured. That was not a very good effort by Smith on his guy coming off the edge who crushed Jameis and re-injured him. But there's a fundamental lack of nasty on the O-line, and I would start Joe Hawley on Sunday. You know what? Hawley, not the most talented guy, not the greatest center in the world, but last year, coaches claim, his number one problem was he lost size. He lost a lot of weight, and Hawley told me it was because he couldn't work out because his knee was so messed up and his lower body was so screwed up, he just lost a lot of muscle weight. But his muscle is back. He's known as nasty on that O-line, brings that nasty edge, brings that attitude. He's that type of fiery guy, and he's on the roster for a reason. He says he's healthy. He was there in 2015 when they were nastier, when they were running wild for 2,000 yards between Doug Martin and Charles Sims. Get over your egos, coaches. Do something for the fans and shake this team up a little bit. Why not? Why can't we move Marpet back to right guard for a game and see if Hawley's nasty outdoes Sweezy. See what happens. Move Marpet back. I bet you he'd be energized going back to right guard. I bet if you put Marpet, threw him on a lie detector, he'd say he'd love to go back to right guard. Give Hawley a shot just to shake things up a little bit. Get a little nastier on that line. And you know what? You better get a little nastier on that line and get a little meaner because you're going to need a little more protection for Ryan Fitzpatrick. So the whole thing doesn't fall apart if you have to go to Ryan Griffin, who they're probably going to activate. So I don't know. I just think, look, I'm recording this Monday. I am just wiped out, did not sleep. The pain of this team is just too much to bear. You get all hyped up, you get all pumped up. And for good reason, we were teased and tempted with some good football last year. Don't forget it, that this team put good football out there. It wasn't a mirage. They beat some good teams last year. Seattle, Kansas City, tremendous victories. Franchise-changing victories for a team that really had the right mentality. But this team doesn't have it. All right, before I get to Jameis, who it's important to talk about Jameis. I think he's at a bit of a crossroads here in his career. 40 games in, he's not a baby anymore. 40 games in, 40 starts into his NFL career. I want to thank everybody for two things. One, Charles Hamrick, Mr. Charles Hamrick. Those of you who voted on JoeBucksFan.com to get a new roof, brand new roof for this for this Korean War veteran. Those regular readers who saw those ads, he was part of a No Roof Left Behind program. Sad story of his plight and that of his wife and his son taking care of his wife in their home in Venice, Florida. Anyway, bottom line, he got the roof. Well, your votes, you came through. Joe Bucks fan was a huge part of making this happen. And while I hated that there were four contestants in this No Roof Left Behind program and they needed the most votes, I hated knowing that three people were going to be left out. That three people were going to lose, three needy people. However, I really felt that Mr. Hamrick, who won, had the best story as far as his level of need. So I think justice was done, and I'm glad we were able to be a part of that in this program. Thank you to the voters. Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. And our friends who really made it happen for Mr. Hamrick is Dr. Deraspino and the staff at the Center for Men's Health, C4MH.com. Great supporters of JoeBucksFan.com. So proud to make this happen. He's going to have his brand new roof on the house. No more leaking, no more raccoons in the house before Thanksgiving. So very exciting stuff. Also, subscribe to this podcast, Monday Morning Joe. It just gets you an alert. It's free wherever you're listening, Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, and leave a review. I don't mind if you leave a bad review. Love to hear a good review. It raises the prominence a bit of the podcast, and it's cool. It's good to get the feedback. And heck, it only takes 60 seconds, so go for it. We're scoring very well, always in the iTunes episode charts. This podcast is top 10 among each episode, not overall. Top 10 episodes of the week is always, this is one of them, and it's very consistent. We were as high as fourth last week, so pretty darn good. I appreciate your being willing to listen to my rants and ravings on a Monday. I should have made this Tuesday morning. Monday, I'm just freaking shot. But that's the way it is for Bucks fans when the team is getting kicked and stomped every week, which is just hard to believe, although this is the life we live. Anyway, Jameis. A lot of people are getting spooked and troubled by Jameis. My colleague Lee DeCamper, the other Joe, he even typed up. He's the one who came up with the America's Quarterback nickname. He even said he's starting to think twice about Jameis and how good how he can be, and you know, not that there's anything wrong with Jameis, but just, you know, hey, what do we have here? What do we have here in Jameis? And I think what's really magnifying that in Jameis Winston, forgetting about what we're seeing on the field, what's magnifying it is what's going on in the conference, in the NFC. Look at Carson Wentz. Look at Jared Goff. Look what they've pulled off in their second years. Eagles and Rams, those are the best shows on turf right now in the NFL. Second-year quarterbacks. First and second-year coaches and coordinators. So you start thinking, okay, Jameis isn't at their tier. He's not at their level yet. And then you look at Dak Prescott. And then you see, funny how Kirk Cousins is hanging in there, and the Redskins are 4-4 despite getting rid of Swaggy Baker and DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon, 2,000-yard receivers. How often does that happen? And you look at the other quarterbacks around the league, and you know what? You start to wonder, man, Jameis looks middle of the pack. He's certainly the worst quarterback in the NFC South, and I hate saying that, but that's where he is right now at 23 years old. Russell Wilson still out there. It makes you start to think when you see how Jameis this year has regressed a little bit. And yes, he's been hurt. We don't know how that's affecting him, but the decision-making and the leadership, there's no way to say that that has not fallen off a little bit. His face of the franchise look isn't looking as good as it used to be. But I personally have a lot of faith in Jameis. I believe his work ethic is there, which is number one. His desire is there, which is number 1A. And not concerned. And he's got plenty of talent. He's already showed plenty in this league to make you believe that he has it in him. However, yesterday, you know, when you're hurt, when you're injured, you're pulled from the game from injury, you got your helmet off, you know you're out of the game, it's the first half, and you also know that, it was the third quarter, I don't remember, whatever, it was still early in the game's still alive, you know that the team's season is on the line, and you're going to walk onto the field where you don't belong and poke a guy who's walking away from you and walking away from your bench and instigate a fight, you know, instigate an incident. And then, you know, Mike Evans comes rushing over, blasts the guy in the back, Marshon Lattimore, a rookie, no less. The Saints are winning because they won the NFL draft this year in many ways. That's a huge part of their turnaround, whereas the Bucks did not. It's just dumb. It's just the height of dumb. That's not leadership. Some of Jameis's body language has fallen off after games, news conferences, this sideline stuff. And I get it. He's frustrated. and we want him to be emotional, but I'd much rather see him channel that emotion and channel that frustration into his teammates, into lighting up some of his teammates. That's where I think it would be much more productive. You know, this kind of stuff with the on the field and poking a guy. I mean, come on, Jameis, you're hurt. You're hurt. Suppose he gets tackled in a scrum like that, and it's just so stupid, and now Mike Evans is probably going to miss a game. But I think, because I think the league is going to suspend him, which they should. I mean, you can't just, you know, do a 40-yard sprint on a dead ball, cold cock a guy in the back who's not even threatening you or instigating anything with you whatsoever. You can't do that and not be suspended. And ironically, it could be Derek Brooks determining the suspension on that. But if Mike Evans is to sit out a game against the Jets, I really don't even feel badly about it. Let Evans' body heal. Let him get a bye week. Let him get stronger for the stretch run. And give Chris Godwin a start, his first NFL start. Let him get out there. Ryan Fitzpatrick threw him a ton of balls in training camp, working with a second team. Let Godwin have his 10 targets and see what happens. Valuable, valuable time for the Bucs players, for the personnel team, for the organization, for possibly the next personnel team or the next head coach. Valuable stuff going forward. But, excuse me, I am not concerned about Jameis and where his future sits. But when you look at him in the scope of NFL quarterbacks and what's going on, man, he's looking more middle of the pack in the realm of franchise quarterbacks. I'm not giving up on a 23-year-old guy who's our best shot and has been our best quarterback in a while. But we'll see. I don't think we've seen the last of Jameis this year. I am not in favor of shutting the guy down. Not in favor of it all. In the NFL, you need to learn how to play hurt. Sure, rest Jameis until, assuming everything's the same. You know, give Jameis 2 weeks off, see how he feels. If he feels great and the doctors say, hey, you know, whatever, he's the same shape, but he's just more healed, put him out there. He needs to learn too. And this organization needs to learn from him what they have in him. And, you know, if he's close to 100% and you give him a little time off to heal, put him out there. Shutting him down for the season is not going to do any good. This Andrew Luck stuff is, I understand people are paranoid, but Luck had surgery. It's a totally different animal. Totally different animal. Trust the doctors. Get him even a second opinion if you want. Give him a couple of weeks off. I think you should get at least 2 games off. Make it 3. If the doctors say that it'll take to heal everything up nice and good. Jameis is going to feel great. And let him exercise his leadership in the last 5 weeks of the season. Let him sort of revive this team, depending on where it's at. But let him come back. Let him revive. Let's see what we have in Jameis. Let's build something going forward, because despite what Dirk Koetter says, that every year is a new season. We heard that last week when the team was moaning about no identity, Jameis no identity, saying every year is a new year, and Koetter saying every year is a different team. Baloney, baloney, baloney. Because you know what? It's not. It's not a new team. It's not a whole new year. Every club is a new personality. That's not the case when you have a returning coach, a returning coordinator. This is Koetter's 3rd year with the offense. This is Jameis Winston's. Hasn't missed a game prior to what might be coming up. It's not the same team. It's not a different team every year. That's why you want continuity, because the same program is coming back. And I get what Koetter was saying and Jameis about the identity, and every team takes on its own little personality, but the core remains the same year to year when you're trying to build on something. So it's a bunch of crap. And you know what? If the team was successful, they'd be saying, gosh, well, we built on what we did last year and we've carried that over with a couple of new pieces. So this losing is also building on what you did last year. They're just channeling the worst of last year. And, you know, they've got some different personalities reacting differently, but Jameis, I think he'll be all right. I really do. But the concern is valid. Concern is valid. How much he's hurt, we don't know. But get him healthy, get him on the field, and we'll find out what he's made of for the rest of this season. For the rest of this podcast, we are done. So much I could talk about, but enough already. Enough already. Discount Garage Doors, dgdoors.com, Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford, and Hyundai. Thank you very much. Our podcast network at joebucksfan.com. Check it out, joebucksfan.com/podcasts. You got Bucks Uncensored with the commish, which is dynamite. Just, he's been so good since the season started and since football got back in. Just a new level has been reached by the commish. Bobby Fenton, Thursday, his The Free Stretch, very good stuff. If you haven't listened to Bobby yet, take a listen. The Scuttlebucks, those are the big dogs in sports radio out of Tallahassee, doing a podcast with Joe Bucks Fan every single week. And they're excellent. Excellent stuff. Lee from Joe Bucks Fan, he's on with them once a week as well on Scuttlebucks. You can subscribe to all the podcasts on Google Play, Podbean, iTunes, maybe not all on Podbean. But you've also got Todd Wright's Fantasy Football Podcast twice a week. Todd is just money on the fantasy stuff. Money, great insight. We're lucky to have his professionalism here at joebucksfan.com. That's presented by Hooters twice a week. And last but not least, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the Ira Kaufman podcast. That's with me and Ira and Lee DeKemper on most weeks. That podcast, it's ranked nationally on Google Play on the top charts for all subjects as well as in sports. Pretty darn impressive for the old guy, the Sage. And we thank you for supporting JoeBucksFan.com. We will not quit. We will not roll over. We will not watch as Justin Evans tries to wrap up. We won't stand there and loaf like Robert McClain and Vernon Hargraves and TJ Ward and Quan Alexander. I'm not sure if Hargraves was in that group. I think he was. We will not loaf here at JoeBucksFan.com. We're going to get after it for you like we always do, 24/7, year-round. See you next week.